So we are doing, again, Perek Revi'i, Mishnah, Zayin, and Ches, according to whatever different ways of cutting it. According to Rabbi Yona's ways of cutting it, that's where we are. Okay? So let's read it inside. Rabbi Yishmael Omer. HaChoshech Atzmo Min Hadin. Someone who, let me get an English translation, because this is one of the ones that, I don't have an English translation. HaChoshech Atzmo Min Hadin. Somebody who, like, hides himself, meaning avoids positions where he's the judge. Hi, Carrie. Guys, I'm so happy to see you all. Hi, Carrie. Oh my gosh, it's been so long. Okay. This is my problem. I look down and then I look up and then I get distracted by whoever has just joined and made me really happy. Okay. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, HaChoshech Atzmo Min Hadin. Someone who avoids positions of being a judge, avoids the position of a judge. Porik Mimenu. Avoids in that, rids himself of Eva, hatred, the gazel and robbery, Ushvua Shav, and false swearing. The Hagath Libo Bahara'a, and somebody who becomes arrogant, whose heart is swelled through instruction, meaning through telling people what to do. Shota is foolish, Rasha is wicked, the Gas Ruach, and is arrogant. Again. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Rabbi Yishmael says, HaChoshech Atzmo Min Hadin, one who avoids being a judge, basically, is the point of that. Porik Mimenu Eva VeGazel Ushvu Ashav, avoids hatred, robbery, and false swearing, or pointless swearing. VeHagat Libo BeHara'a, and somebody who, his heart swells in telling people, in din, meaning in if he passes judgment, and he, like, his heart swells from passing judgment, Shota Rasha VeGas Ruach, is a fool, is wicked, and is arrogant. Okay, so what are our basic questions on this Mishnah? Let's all be honest. What's our first question? It's a nice little word that has four letters. That's what? How about that one? Like, what? Yeah, tell me, what's your question?
Like, what's the context of
this? Good. What's the context of that? Meaning, make that question stronger. It sounds like it's talking to a very specific audience, which is who? Say again, yeah?
Like leaders, judges.
Right. Exactly. Good. Leaders or judges, right? People who are in the position of they're choosing whether or not to be a judge. All right. So the first question we always ask when we're reading Mishnah Pirkei Avos is like, this seems like it's instructing somebody who is very much not Hannah Cohen in the 21st century, right? Or anyone else on this call. I just don't want to call you guys out. You know, maybe you guys are leaders and judges and all that jazz, right? But like, okay, so what does this mean? Like, what am I, what's the underlying moral that's present in this kind of Mishnah that seems to really not be addressing me? Okay, let's assume that it is addressing us, that we are in positions where we could choose to be judges. Ask me another kasha on this Mishnah. The basic point of this Mishnah seems to be telling us, like, don't be a judge, right? Now, do you have a kasha on that?
We need judges.
Yeah, good, right, Carrie? Like, okay, don't we need people to be judges? And even more so, right, we can make it stronger. Isn't it in some capacity, like, a beautiful service to society to be a judge? Isn't it in some capacity a mitzvah? Maybe it's not, like, one of the 613 mitzvahs, because it can't apply to everybody. But, like, isn't it, like, a good thing for people to be judges? We need these people in our society. So why are we coming down so hard and basically seem to be dissuading people from being judges? Right? So the first thing is, why are we dissuading people from being judges? And secondly is, like, well, if I'm just Chana and I'm reading this and I'm not going to be a judge, like, why is this in Pirkei Avos for me? Okay? Like, what's the underlying moral that this could teach me as well? Good? And again, the third questions are just, like, what's the robbery and foolishness and wickedness, like, what are all those things and what's, like, the theme? Okay, good. So that's where we're going. Rabbi Yona, okay, HaChoshech Atzmo Min Hadin. He asks the second question, and again, obviously, we're gonna distill from what he says the answer to the first question. Okay, so the second question being, why not? Why shouldn't you be a judge? Isn't this a good thing? Okay. Aval pi shekasuv, even though it says in Devarim, this is a question, it's going to end with a question mark. He's saying, aval pi shekasuv, even though it says shoftim v'shotrim, right? You're supposed to appoint judges. That's one of, like, the main inyanim of Devarim when Moshe's dying, is that he instructs Bnei Yisrael that they have to have a system of judges. This is, like, extremely important for society that you have people who are willing to take up this position. So why are we dissuading it? Why are we, you know, knocking that position? The kasuv tzedek tzedek tirdof, and that as a society you should be pursuing justice, and you can't do that without judges, right? She mitzvah ladina sedin. Okay, so he says it's actual, according to Rabbi Yona, it's a mitzvah, right? It's a mitzvah to be a judge. So how could this Mishnah be telling us not to be a judge? So here's a question. Do you guys feel like this mission is telling us not to be a judge? You're like, I don't know. All right, let's go on. Okay, so what do you think Urbaniona is going to do? He's either going to tell us, well, what he's going to tell us is that it's not, the point of this Mishnah is not whether or not to be a judge. That's not the point, right? There's a moral that's much deeper, that's a universal moral, you know, hidden in or, you know, whatever, incumbent in what this Mishnah is telling us. So let's figure out what that is. Zahu b'makom, I'm going to read you a few sentences of his first, of the first clause. So again, this Mishnah, let's split it into two clauses. We're going to do the first one first, right? The first one is Hachoshech Atzma Min Adin, Parag Minu Eva V'Gezal V'Shvu Hashav. And the second one is Hagas Libo B'Hara, Shota Rasha V'Gas V'Rach. Okay, so the first one, let's go. Zehu B'Makom She'in Sham Dayanim Acherim. This is in a place where there are no other judges. Okay, you should be a judge only when there's no other judges. Aval Kol Zman She'yucha Lach Shochas Atzma Min Adin, but any point at which you could avoid it, Tovlov lahashlich ulo alachirim. It's better to put that yoke on other people's shoulders. Mipnei shemonea atzmo mikama sveikos. Because by avoiding being a judge, you avoid several, you know, tense situations that otherwise you would get yourselves into. This is what the Mishnah tells us. Porik manu eva the gaza hayotzi mi beis din chayav yisna es hadayanim. Why do you avoid hatred if you're not a judge? Because even if you're a judge, and even if you're a really, really good judge, every time you judge a case, somebody's going to lose. And the person who loses, even if you're a good judge, and even if you've passed justice in the eyes of the Lord, in the eyes of the person who lost, you're a bad guy. And in a way, they will always hate you. So let's just talk about, like, that's very real. You know what I mean? Like, we're not afraid of that. We're not afraid of that part of human nature. Like, that's one of the things that you're accepting upon yourself. When you become a judge, you're accepting upon yourself that in passing justice, you earn the hatred of certain people. The gazel, right? I mean, my friends, I don't have that many friends who've taken stuff to Beis Din, but like when they do take stuff to Beis Din, I'm always like a little scared, you know? They're like, we want this Rav on Beis Din and this other Rav on Beis Din and this other Rav on Beis Din. And I'm like, oh no, like if this doesn't go the way that you think it should, like it's hard in your relationship with those Rabbeim, right? Okay, fine. V'gazel, and stealing. Why? Shema yichayev tashlumim lemisha eno chayev v'hadavar alav ki'ilu gozla. Right? Maybe you'll pass the judgment incorrectly and you'll have somebody owe somebody money, or you'll have somebody not owe somebody money who actually owes money, right? And since you're the judge and you've made a mistake, it's as if you've caused the stealing in the world because you have poskined this somewhat incorrectly. Or you've made a mistake. Ushivu ashav, and a pointless vow. Shema yechayvu shivua shalo kadin. Maybe you'll make people swear when they didn't really have to swear. Not even that they're swearing falsely, but you require them to take an oath and they really didn't really have to take an oath. They probably would have told you the truth even without an oath, let's say. Right? V'nimta machshilo b'shivua schinam. And you've made him take a vow in Hashem's name that he didn't really have to. The end. Okay? So that's his payrush on the first section. So what is he telling us? Is he telling us, don't be a judge? Right, it's fascinating. We have to like peel back the layers of Rabbeinu Yonah. Is he telling us don't be a judge? It's not about whether or not we're a judge, right? It's about our relationship with power. That's this first part of the Mishnah. It's not about are you going to choose to be a judge. It's how you choose to be in a relationship with power. And it's not telling you don't choose to be a judge. It's actually telling you that you should. It's a responsibility of society. If nobody else is going to do it, of course you should do it. It's not about whether or not you choose to be a judge. That's like the context. The moral of the context is your relationship with power. And that your relationship with power as a Jew always has to be from a perspective of, I'm going to do it if I could do it better than anybody else. If anyone else is going to succeed in this power position more than me, it is my responsibility to step back. And if I am the best person to be in this power, I will step into the position of power with the knowledge that I am completely human. Two sides. I am human, and even if I'm the best person to judge this case, because I'm the most knowledgeable judge, I will sometimes make mistakes. And I will make people swear who don't have to swear. I will make people owe people money who don't owe them money. And that's my responsibility. And when I'm stepping into this position of power, I understand that I'm going to make mistakes as a human, and I'm going to be wrong. And therefore, I step into power with a certain feeling of, what feeling would you put there? That's the moral. The moral isn't about judgment. The moral is about how we accept power. We accept power with what basic emotion?
Humility.
Humility. Good. Love that word. Humility, I think there's like a flip side, right? It's like humility and I would say trepidation.
Right? Responsibility.
Responsibility. Good, Racha. Right? Exactly. Right. Good. Like it. Right? With humility, with responsibility, with a little bit of trepidation, right? We're not accepting power like, oh yeah, finally, my ego is validated. This is always who I knew I was supposed to be. Right? And it's also the flip side of human nature that you understand that other people, that in your position of responsibility, there are people on the other side of your responsibility who are also human, right? And you're going to incur sometimes their hatred just by trying to do the right thing. So again, that's also the responsibility. It's also the humility. It's also the trepidation. Like, you accept power fully with an understanding of your own fallibility as a human. I learned this lesson myself personally from Rabbi Ilan Haber, who is the national director of JLIC. And at the first JLIC conference I went to, I will never forget this motivational speech. It was the best one I'd ever heard in my life, and it caught me completely off guard. And he got up on the first, again, like, it, you know, it was the whole room, and he was giving this, like, motivational speech to, like, all of JLIC educators. And he said to them, every other organization that you work for and every other, you know, ceremony that they're going to have like this, they're going to stand up and they're going to congratulate you and they're going to tell you how awesome you're doing and about how no one else in Klal Yisrael is doing this and you guys are all heroes and you're amazing. He's like, I'm not going to do that. That's not really my style. He's like, I am here because I feel like I am the best person to be doing this role for Klal Yisrael. And if I ever felt like there was somebody else who was better, who would be a better national director of JLIC, I would step down and give them my role. And he was like, every single one of you as educators on your campus must feel, and you should feel, and that should be your goal and your vision, is that you are the educator on this campus because you are the best person to be doing this. And if you ever feel like someone else could do this better than you, you should step down and give them your job. And I was like, blown. My mind was blown. I don't know. I've never heard somebody say it like that. And like, to me, it's like, this is the source. I should like send him. I just taught your like motivational speech, you know, of like, this is it. That's our relationship with responsibility. That's our relationship with power. We do it because we feel like we are the best people to do this for Klal Yisrael. And we accept that with the fallibility and responsibility and the humility that it takes to do those kinds of power positions. Okay. So now that we have that context, Hagas Libo Baho Ra'a, right? Somebody whose heart swells in that role as a judge. Right? What relationship does that have to the first part? That's like the opposite, right? Of this attitude. So the first part is telling you, you should have this attitude of, again, fallibility and trepidation approaching judgment. And then it says somebody who has the opposite, right? That's what we're going doing in the second part of this Mishnah, right? The opposite attitude towards judgment, which is hagas libo bahora, right? Your heart swells in this position of instruction. You are in a power position and you're like, hey, 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 I love being in this power position, right? You're not like, oh my gosh, these are real humans in front of me. They're going to be offended at me. I might make a mistake. Hashem, please guide me, you know, da, 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 right? Instead, you're like, oh, I am amazing. I know how to do this. I'm the best at this. Like, I totally got this. Right, we're going to see that. Rabbeinu Yonah is going to describe that as exactly the opposite attitude. The infallibility, the inhumility, the arrogance of Hagas Libo Bahora. Hagas Libo Bahora. Samech zeh hadavar lachshov atzom min hadin. Shehu inyan hafuch mimenu. Right? These are two parts of the same Mishnah because they're opposites. Right? This is the exact opposite attitude of what we just described in the first part of this Mishnah. Ki zeh choshech atzmo min hadin, mipnei shetzarech lepasko b'mitun u'b'iyon gadol, right? The first person has an attitude that when he is paskning din, again, he understands his humanity, he understands his fallibility, he's approaching it with trepidation, right? He deliberates a lot, he looks into things, right? He assumes that he can make mistakes, and therefore he takes his job very seriously, and he takes his responsibility seriously, and humbly. Hadavar alav l'torach, right? It's a burden for him. His responsibility, his power position, like Bracha said, exactly, right? His power position is a responsibility for him. And in that way, it's a bit of a burden. He takes it really seriously. Aval hagas libo b'hora'a, right? Somebody whose heart is swells. Again, there's probably like some concise way of saying that, but okay. Shechoshev ba'atmo kieda lahoros badin velo yita, right? This is somebody who thinks he's great in this power position and he's not going to make a mistake. Infallibility. Hagas libo, right? It's not only that his heart swells, it's that it swells from an attitude of him feeling like, I got this. I'm a really good judge. I'm the best. I'm the expert. I'm the best. I'm a really good judge. You know, I'm not going to make a mistake. Please, that's other people. Other people make mistakes. Hare zeh shuta, He's a fool. Why is he called a fool? In his eyes, he's the smartest person. He might be, by the way, the smartest person objectively, right? But also in his eyes, he's the smartest person, and that's the issue. There's no foolishness more than this. Because fools have more hope than this guy. Why? Somebody who's a fool and who does wrong things. He knows that he's a fool. And he knows that he's doing things that aren't so well thought out and they're not so great. And he's, you know, he's not the most, yashar person. And he knows that about himself. He doesn't think that he isn't doing stuff wrong. He knows that he's doing stuff wrong. So then maybe since he knows he's doing something wrong, you know, he'll be motivated by somebody. He'll be inspired by something else and he could change his ways. Not so. Somebody who is so self-assured, so sure of his own correctness, of his own righteousness, of his own intelligence, of his own correctness and din, that he has no hope of improving because he knows the best. Somebody who is so wise in his own eyes and his heart is so swollen, again, with all this instruction. What hope does he have? He thinks he's so smart. How is he going to recognize his mistakes? How is he going to avoid his mistakes? How is he going to do tshuva after he makes mistakes? He's like the, you know, the ultimate. I took a philosophy class in Stern that I really enjoyed. And there's a story, again, in one of these philosophy books. I think it's about Socrates. It might be about Plato. Or Aristotle. I should look it up. It's about one of those three. I think it's Socrates. I'll look it up and I'll tell you. But anyways, there's like this oracle who's supposed to be like this, you know, whatever, like a prophet, basically. And the oracle says that Socrates is the wisest of all men. And Socrates himself is actually shocked at this news, that he's the wisest of all men. He was surprised. So he goes to try to figure out why is he the wisest of all men. So he goes to like the shoemaker, the horse shoemaker, and he's talking to the horse shoemaker, and he sees that the horse shoemaker is like pontificating on every subject because he's an expert in horseshoes. He thinks he's an expert in everything. And he sees that pattern among humans, that since they're an expert in one thing, they think that they're the expert in everything, and they should have opinions that count about everything. And he realizes that the only reason that he is the wisest of men is because he's the only man who doesn't think that he's the wisest of men. And that makes him the wisest of men, right? That's this. You think that you're the wisest of men, you're a fool. You think that you're fallible. You think that you can make mistakes. You are now the wisest of men. And that's the person that we want to be our judge. Okay? So that's why he's a shote. Why is he a rasha? Listen to this. Okay? Listen, Rav Eino Yonah is going to give us a definition of yirat shamayim. Backwards. He's going to give us a negative definition. Okay? Rasha. Aval pi. Sha'amar shehu shote. We already told you that he was a fool. We know he's a fool. Okay, but we're also going to tell you now that he is also a Rasha. Al zeh hutzrach lomar shehu Rasha. She'im haisa bo yira shamayim. Lo haya atz bidvarav kolkach. If he had yira shamayim, he wouldn't be so self-assured. Ki yodeya shehu shehashgaga mitzuya hi bivnei adam. Because he would know. If he were a yira shamayim, what would he know? That everybody makes mistakes. The karav hadavar l'chol adam litos. And error is very close to people, right? Meaning we all make mistakes. V'gam ha'chacham ha'gadol ha'mafufal toa. And even the greatest and wisest of all men makes mistakes. What's the definition of someone who is a yorei shamayim? Somebody who recognizes his own human fallibility. That was Rabbeinu Yonah's definition of a yorei shamayim. What does it mean that you fear God? It means that you understand that you are capable of making mistakes. And you know what? You do make mistakes. Not just you think you're capable of it and therefore you avoid mistakes. You think you make mistakes and you're right. You do make mistakes and so does everybody else. Making mistakes does not make you not a Yarei Shamayim. The only thing that makes somebody not a Yarei Shamayim is not understanding that they make mistakes. Once you understand that you are a human, you become a Yarei Shamayim. If you think that you are above that, you are no longer a Yarei Shamayim. It's incredible, right? The Gas Ruach, Aval Pish Amar, Shehu Shotev, Lo Yarei Chit, Adam Mosif, Kimitoch, Giyuz Ruach. Okay, yeah, I'm going to skip this part. Okay, but listen to the end of Rabbeinu Yonah, okay? And he's arrogant. Why is he arrogant? Because he thinks he's not going to make a mistake, okay? So we got that part. Okay, Rabbeinu Yonah ends. Hine, Ki Shlosh Hamidos Ha'ila, right? These three things that you might find in a judge who is Hagas Libo Bahora. right? Somebody who has the exact attitude that we want our judges to have. And somebody who is instead a gas ruach bahu ra'ah and has these three things. He's a shota, he's a rasha, and he's a gas ruach. Hamakum b'rachamav yatzilenu mehem. Hashem, in his mercy, save us from these people. I mean, that's like, you don't hear of anyone saying that very often in his parish. Right? Pirkei Avos is filled with good midos and bad midos. And here Rabbeinu Yonah is like, save us. Lord, save us from those people. That's strong. Okay? We're going to go on. No, I'm going to tell you a story first. Okay? This is a story from Rav Carey Friedman. I heard it firsthand from him. I wrote him. I did not write him. I left him a voice note asking him for the details, the context of this, which I don't know. And because he did not write me back yet. God willing, I will get you the context when I have it. But basically, he was on an inter. Rav Carey Friedman. He spoke to you when I had Rafael, right? He's the clergyman. He's the, what's it called? Chaplain. He's the chaplain for the FBI. Or he was one of the chaplains for the FBI. And at some point he was like on a mass interfaith panel with like a Christian and the different denominations of Christianity. And he was always like the token Jewish chaplain. He has some like great stories from those panels that he sat on. And this is one of the great stories that he told, which again is like definitely the theme of this Mishnah. But he said that at some point they were all talking about their stuff, whatever. And at some point they had like a call in from the audience. People can call in and ask questions. And he said that one of the questions that they asked was that they got a call in from a police officer who had just been, who had just been walking to get himself a sandwich at like some store. And he heard people in like the bank next door screaming. So as a police officer, he like responded to that. And there was like a bank robber trying to rob the bank. Like, and he was just a policeman who was like off duty getting a sandwich. And they took out their guns and they had like a shooting match and he killed the bad guy basically. And afterward, and he was like unexpected. He was just going to get a sandwich. And after that, he went into like the restaurant next door and he like collapsed crying on the table, having like just shot a man who was trying to shoot other people, and called in. And the moderator was like, clergymen, chaplains, respond to this man. And that was like their challenge. Okay, it's like an incredible story. If Rebecca hadn't told this to me, I don't know if I would believe it. So he said like one of them was like, yeah, you get him. He deserved that. That was like the first response. The second response from the other people on the panel was, and again, I'll try to get you the, I'll ask Rav Carey to leave me a voice note with like the whole story and then I'll send it to the group, God willing. But the second guy was like, I'm so sorry that you went through that. That's really hard, but you're amazing. You did the right thing and like God will comfort you. Okay. And Rav Carey, when it was his turn, he said to the guy, I am so happy to hear this story. I am so happy to hear how you're feeling. And the guy was like, I'm like broken. I'm crying. What are you talking about? And he said, because this shows me that you are the perfect person for society to have in the position of responsibility that you have. Someone who could be in your responsibility and could be in your position and could be in your status and can walk into a bank and shoot another man and not feel the way that you do. Hamakom barachamav yatzilenu mehem. Right? Lord, save us from those people who could do that, who could perpetuate the justice of society without any compassion. He said, you who, even though this guy pulled a gun on innocent people in a bank and was trying to like really destroy the fabrics of our society, even him, when you shot him, that you felt bad about it, you're exactly the kind of person who we want to give a gun to. You're exactly the kind of person who we want to uphold society because you value the thing, every part of society and humanity. And so the guy picked up the phone and was like, Rabbi, God bless you. And Rav Carey's like, how did I know that? He's like, I knew that because when I was in school, they taught me that that's why the Kohanim were the ones who fought in the Maccabim. That's why the Maccabim were Kohanim. Because it was like a bloody guerrilla warfare. And the only people who were qualified or should be qualified in Bnei Israel to fight a bloody guerrilla warfare where they're killing a bunch of other people are the Kohanim who are consistently, perpetually dealing in Kedusha and life. And those are the people who could distribute death. And the only people qualified in our society, right? That's this Mishnah. Okay, let's quickly do the second Mishnah because it's the same person. And again, it's like it adds one more point. So I want to do it at the same time. Okay, Hu Haya Omer, Rabbi Yishmael continues to say, Al Tihi Dan Yechidi, don't judge alone. She'in Dan Yechidi Ela Achad, because there's only one judge who could judge alone, meaning Hashem. Va'al Tomar, and don't say, Kablu da'ati, shehin rasha'in velo ata. And don't say, accept what I say, because they're the ones who have the permission to accept what you say. It's not your call whether or not they accept what you say. Okay? So again, what's the assumption? What does it mean, al tahi dan yachidi, don't judge alone? What's the havamina there? Who's allowed to judge alone? Is there anybody who is allowed to judge alone besides for God? The answer actually is yes. There is somebody who's allowed to judge alone. Who do you think would be allowed to judge alone?
I'm thinking like a Navi, but he's not really judging. He's just getting a Nevuah. So I don't know if that counts.
Good, Bracha. Exactly. You're on exactly the right path, right? Somebody who is such an, like, yes, a Navi, you would think, right? But an expert. Right? Somebody who's almost infallible. What we would think to be infallible. Somebody who is like the highest echelon of expert is actually allowed to judge alone. If you have somebody who's a mumcha, right? A mumcha means like a real expert in something. That person is allowed to judge alone. But still, this Mishnah is telling you, even though you are allowed to judge alone, don't judge alone. Why not? The same attitude, right? From the same, it's the same moral as the previous one. Because your responsibility or your attitude towards power is not, I'm the best one to do it. I know that I'm going to do the right job. I know that I'm the wisest person. I'm going to judge this alone. Right? Your attitude towards your own position of responsibility is, even though I'm the mumcha, even though I'm the expert, I know that I can make mistakes. And since I know that I can make mistakes, I'm going to ask other people for help. And the incredible thing is that what happens later in this Mishnah, meaning what's the story of this Mishnah? It says, don't be a single judge. Because only Hashem is going to be a single judge. So you, like, from your humility, understanding that you're not God, right? Understanding that you are a fallible human, you're not God. Therefore, don't judge alone. Because you are human, and you are going to make mistakes. But what happens? You're the mumcha. I'm the mumcha, okay? And Yael and Carrie have a debate, okay? They're arguing about who Yael's t-shirt actually belongs to. Does it actually belong to Yael, or did she accidentally take it from Carrie's closet? And they cannot solve this, so they come to me. And I am the expert in clothing deliberations, so they come to me. Okay, so I don't want to judge this alone because that's what this Mishnah is telling me. So I pull in bracha and bracha, okay, to do it. And Sarah Steiner, it's going to be our audience or whatever. Okay, so I pull in bracha and bracha to be judges with me. Okay, and I say, okay, we listen to this case. You know, I have expertise. I have 20 years of expertise in clothing deliberations. It's clear to me that Carrie is lying and it's actually Yael's shirt. Okay, and bracha, what do they say to me? What's the story of this Mishnah? Al tomar kablu da'ati shehim rashayim v'lo ata. So do they agree with me or they don't agree with me? They don't agree with me, right? If they agreed with me, the Mishnah wouldn't have to say, don't tell them to accept your opinion, because they would. I would be like, I have 20 years, it's clear that Yael's lying. And Bracha and Bracha are like, yep, Yael's lying. Bracha and Bracha are like, no, I don't think so. I actually don't think they're lying. I think Yael's lying and Carrie's right. And actually the shirt belongs to Carrie. Okay, so now I'm the expert. This Mishnah is telling me, don't say, okay, by the way, guys, I could have passed this alone. Because I, by the way, am the expert in clothing deliberations. Did you forget? Did I not show you my credentials? I only called in bracha and bracha because I'm also humble. So everybody knows that I'm actually right. It's Yael's shirt. Right? I'm the mumcha. I could judge alone. Had I judged alone, I would have said it was Yael's shirt. Instead, because I'm humble, because I recognize that I'm fallible, I call in bracha and bracha. And when push comes to shove, even though I'm the expert, since I know I'm fallible, since I called in bracha and bracha, whose psak do we go with? Bracha and bracha. We take the shirt away from Yael and we give it to Carrie. And that is justice. That is the way that justice is served. Right? Hashem is basically the subtext of the story here, of this judge, right? Is that Hashem says, if you approach your positions of power from that attitude, I'm taking positions that I think I'm the best one to do. Even as I think that I'm the best one to do it, I understand deeply that I am fallible, that I am human, that Carrie and Yael are human, that bracha and bracha are human, and I'm the expert and I'm also human. So even if it means that my opinion as the expert and as the top judge and as the smartest person in this town will be overturned because I'm calling in for help and because I'm on a judge with other people, because I'm judging with other people and because I'm taking time to deliberate, that is MS. That is Yirah Shamayim. That is justice. If I think it's Yael's shirt and I, out of humility only, and out of fallibility only, call in bracha and bracha, and they tell me to take the shirt from Yael and give it to Carrie, that's the right psak. And everyone here is a Yirah Shamayim. If I'm so sure that I'm the clothing expert, and it's Yael's shirt, and I don't call in bracha and bracha, and I know that since I've done this 200,000 times, and this is how I feel, it's Yael's shirt, and I give y'all the shirt, I am no longer a Yerush Shamayim. Because who do I actually think is the Dan Yechidi? I am the Dan Yechidi, not Hashem. No. Hashem is Hashem. I am a human. The number one ingredient in Yerush Shamayim is understanding your own humanity. Humility. I like that word. Humility. That's a good one, right? Fine. And right, humility, you're understanding your own humanity and fallibility. Those are the ingredients in Yerush Shamayim. It's not just about judges, it's to all of us. And it's, again, our approach to positions of responsibility in which we're a little bit more than other people. The requirement is to approach that with humility and fallibility.